This is the 24th November message from Mother, which I just received. If we desire to make the most of the opportunity that this life gives us, if we wish to respond adequately to the call we have received and to attain to the goal we have glimpsed, not merely advance a little towards it, it is essential that these should be an entire self-giving. Your last words. The secret of success in yoga is to regard it not as one of the aims to be pursued in life, but as the one and only one aim. Not as an important part of life, but as the whole of life. So it is with that attitude we are trying to develop a group of people who feel it. But our aim and goal is these five. Let us always remember it. It should become almost into our blood. It should rush in our blood that the first one, of course, a free and united India. A free and united India. And the another is the resurgence and liberation of the people of Asia. The third was a world union, Akhanda Bharat. And when I say Akhanda Bharat, that does not mean that Indians are going to invade and then rule the whole planet. Akhanda Bharat means the whole world goes into the truth consciousness. Because only truth consciousness can be one. And then the spiritual gift of India. The entire spiritual gifts, plural, of India is completely given word by word in two books, The Synthesis of Yoga and The Life Divine. And how to experience it is in Savitri. But I am not going to touch Savitri, it is very difficult, because when you touch Savitri, you should have at least 49 meanings for every word and for every sentence. That doesn't mean that you have to know all those names and experiences, but we should know where our experience is starting, where we are in the ladder of 49 levels of consciousness. So the gift of India, the spiritual gift of India, has already been begun, and we can say since more than 5,000 years when the Gita was said to Arjuna, and it is being still continued. What we always forget is that we think the Mahabharata is over in 18 days. No, it is still continuing. It is still continuing. And it will stop only when the whole world becomes one. The final dream is, of course, the jump in the consciousness, evolution. From human beings, the planet Earth will be full of divine beings. We will not see one single human being on planet Earth very soon, but that very soon depends on how soon we go. There is nothing there, because many times they say that even though the literacy rate in India is very low, there are PhDs and research scholars working. So even though there may be man beings, we should convert ourselves into human beings, and the test of it is physical immortality. What Sri Aurobindo has given is this to the entire world, the physical immortality. It is possible. But that it should be possible is only possible when you transform yourself. Every cell of your body is completely transformed. So these are the five dreams. Always try to remember it. Just don't escape it. We heard it. It is not hearing that is important, but putting it into practice. Yesterday, I was talking about the various aspects of the action we have to take and how our life becomes a yoga. The life divine becomes the synthesis of yoga. All life is yoga. So, all life is yoga and life divine almost mean one and the same thing. But most important thing we have to know is how to go towards it. What are the actions towards it? And you remember, it should be the one and only aim of your life. That is what the Siddhi Devi says. But that doesn't mean that your regular life has to be changed. Your regular life will be like that. Because I remember that one of my friend's son has gone to Pilani to study engineering. And with him, when he came back in the summer vacation, I went to the village to see how a village is and enjoy it. So one of the old men in the village asked, "What are you doing now?" He said, "I am doing engineering." But actually, what is he doing now? He is talking with the old man. But what does he reply? "I am studying engineering." So it is not that every moment you have to think that you are doing the yoga and you are doing this and you are doing that. That is your goal. That is what you are studying for. Just as he is studying engineering. But in the summer vacations when he comes to the house, he will not read books. He will be enjoying. So always remember that being seriousness is the first hurdle of yoga. We become too serious, always finding fault with others, always saying that they are wrong, they are wrong. Why should they be wrong or right? You be right. That is enough. So with that aspect, I have taken the book Beyond Man, so that he has given the entire how their life they molded so that the divinity may descend. Because the avatar means he is not born with all the abilities, he is born with the body of that particular evolution. And then he slowly, in his life, he molds his body, first the mind, then the vital, and then the physical, so that the next stage can be easily obtained by following his life. That is why he says all life is yoga. So that is what we have to remember. And yesterday I was telling you that Sri Aurobindo had written, "I may say that it is far from my purpose to propagate any religion. Be very careful, either in your actions or in your words, are you probably creating a new religion?" And that is the mistake which this consciousness does. The mind always does this. And even in Gita, it says, "Sadharme nidharam shreyaha paradharmo bhayava." That was 5,000 years back. But that habit, you know, is very difficult. So whenever we do something or do something, we try to behave, what if we are the followers of so and so do? We are not imitating anybody. We are not following anybody. That is what he is stressing in this. My purpose to propagate is not to form any religion, new or old, for humanity in the future. A way to be opened that is still blocked, not a religion to be founded, is my conception of the matter. That is a very, very important aspect which you have to lay. You find yourself while you are practicing it, that which blocks are being removed. And you always find that so many blocks are already in us. The caste, the creed, the nationality, the religion, the sex, the relationship. And this is what he opened. A way to be opened that is still blocked, not a religion to be founded, is my conception of the man. So this is the crux of our daily life, everything we do. And repeatedly you remember, the way you sit, the way you change your postures, a small cough, a small sneeze, sneezing, all are related to yoga. You have to masterize, you have to analyze this particular aspect, that whatever you are doing is still yoga. In the human being, only the lowest three steps of the state of existence have been realized. Now this is the problem, what Sri Aurobindo has to say. There are no steps to go. Because we have only three steps. In Synthesis of Yoga, he very clearly mentions about these three steps. One is the physical step. This has been perfected, the physical body. And the physical body is not only this physical body, but that which is known as Annamaya Kosha. There is a difference between Annamaya Kosha and Sthula Sharira. This Sthula Sharira is formed by the absorbed vibrations of the food you take. That is Annamaya Kosha. It is first formed, and then on the molding of that Annamaya Kosha, the physical body is formed. This small change you have to remember. So whatever you eat, you remember that something is being formed in you. Whether you take a cup of coffee, whether you drink something, whether you eat, whatever you eat, are we aware of it? The food that we are eating, which part of it that food is going to vitalize you? And that is why this Annamaya Kosha, with the ability to vitalize it, is known as the vital body. Or in our Vedantic literature, it is known as Pranamaya Kosha. So first step, the Sthula Sharira. The second step, the Annamaya plus Pranamaya. We will use it as vital. The vital body, and then the mental body. These three are, these three steps of the state of existence have been realized. The mental body, we are trying to learn it. But the way the present day atmosphere of reading and teaching and the universities, you are free to mold your mind as a chemist or a physicist, as an economist, as a politician, as a businessman. So this staircase, even though not all are on that stair, but anyone who wants to reach that stair can use it. So Sri Aurobindo very clearly says that in the human being, only the lowest three steps of the state of existence have been realized. Higher on, there are many more spiritual steps. To enter into the spiritual steps, and then to start ascending, understanding those steps, that is exactly what is the purpose of integral yoga. So that is why, even though we always read that Sri Aurobindo says, where all other yogas end, integral yoga starts. So you have to be very careful about your abstract mind, and then the higher mind, the illumined mind, the over mind, and of course then the supra mind. Consciousness is not something abstract. It is like existence itself, or ananda, or mind, or prana. Now, this word consciousness is the key to understand all the yogas plus the future integral yoga. I say future because just as we are now practicing all these yogas and studying, very soon, and probably with our efforts, that is what I dream of, we can give the steps for future integral yoga, where so much discussion will not be required. This is the first step, this is the second step, you will still go there. Mother has done it. And you will hear now, Sri Aurobindo said, don't do it. He has advised his mother, don't do it. We will see, we will come to that part. Because, no, if I say that, I will be there, I will be here. So, consciousness is not something abstract. It is like existence itself, or ananda, or mind, or prana. Something very concrete. This is what we have to achieve. Our consciousness must be concrete. We have three consciousness. We are very clear about it. The wakeful consciousness, the dream consciousness, and the sleep consciousness. But is it concrete? And what do we mean by being concrete? Just as we are behaving in wakeful consciousness, this is a chair, this is a book, this is a box, this is a mic, very concrete, very concrete. And when you see those concrete objects, what you are able to do? You can recombine them. You can put it there, you can put it there, you can put it there. Can in the dreams we can do that? Mother says, you are already doing it. But unfortunately, we are not being taught how to dream. And Sri Aurobindo has given his 5 dreams. For him, the 5 dreams are concrete, you remember it. But when you read it, when you hear it, the moment we see a dream, what do you mean? It is a dream. But for Sri Aurobindo and for those practitioners of integral yoga who are serious, the dreams are not dreams, they are concrete. Just as when you are trying to build a home, especially a very big home, a 7-storied or 8-storied building, first what you have to dig is not to build, but to dig. Is it not? The bigger the, more the number of stories, you have to dig deeper. So when you want to enter into this, first the wakeful consciousness, then you have to dig a bit lower, that is the dream consciousness. Then you have to dig bit deeper into the sleep consciousness. And do you know what happens? When you dig like this, the flats rise automatically because it is concrete. I am not meaning the concrete of the builders, but I am meaning the solid concrete. So when you are able to make a concrete dreaming process, your vital mind, well, I am not saying vital body, I am talking about the vital mind, it becomes active. And whatever you think happens, whatever you think happens. But it is just a fundamental step, it is not a part of the integral yoga. But you have to get this so that you can use integral yoga, but you can't stop there. You have to go into the sleep state. And then the sleep must become concrete. Then what does it mean? Can you guess? Exactly, we don't know what sleep is. But many modern physiologists and scientists, and especially cardiologists, have almost touched this aspect of concrete mind in sleep, but they are not able to name it. A very wonderful book is that is known as the relaxation response. In general, when a man faces a problem, there are only a response of fighting or flighting. Either you fight, and you see when you are not able to fight it, face it, we retreat, we flight. It is known as, in the doctor's terminology, it is known as the fight or flight response. You got the point? Fight or fight response. That is exactly what Bhagavad Gita starts, this response. Arjuna was there, he wanted to fight, but when he found that it is difficult, what did he say? I don't want this. But he came to fight, and there on the field he is saying, I don't want it. Do you understand? Then suddenly what happened? The flight response started. The fight, flight. But in a relaxed state, the name relaxation itself means you are neither fighting nor flighting. You are relaxing. Got the point? Relaxation response, that is sleep. You are in a relaxed state. But the relaxed state, the yogic name is samadhi. Samadhi. Sukha dukkhe samakrutva labha labha jaya jayo. Whatever it is. In that relaxed state, you do whatever you are doing. That is what Gita advises us. So if you are in that relaxed state, the doctors have found something very unique. About 40 incurable diseases. The diabetes, the BP, arthritis. He gives a long list. So they are all cured. So that relaxation has become concrete. That is what I am trying to tell you. They have understood in the disease aspect of it. And that is why I advised you, how many of you yesterday night went over there? Anyone tried it? You remember what I told you yesterday? When you go to sleep, you imitate mother. Just as in Paris, she used to go at night and hover around the country, and thousands of people who have their illnesses, whether physical, emotional or mental, she used to cure it. And many of us think that they are curing because they put their hands or they bless. They know the concrete aspect of it. The disease is there. And if you can concretize the disease, am I able to convey my meaning? All of you are fine. If the disease, if you can make it concrete, you can just lift it and put it. It is as simple as that. But you should know how to relax. So these are the three, something very concrete. If one becomes aware of the inner conscious, one can do all sorts of things with it. And what Sri Aurobindo says, what you can do it. Number one, this one is what I have added to his, he didn't say 1, 2, 3. He says, number one, send it out as a stream of force. Send it out as a stream of force. Can you visualize what is to happen? When a cyclone hits, and your stream of power hits, physical, you will see the physical reaction. Number two, erect a circular wall of consciousness around oneself, a protecting wall. And third, direct an idea so that it shall enter somebody's head in America. And he has done that, Sri Aurobindo. He entered into the heads of Churchill. But because Churchill was open to it. You remember that. You don't think that by hearing this you can enter anybody's head. You can't. If it has been that easy, with all his troubles, Sri Aurobindo would have done a simple thing. He would have entered all our heads and everything would be over. No sadhana is required. He can't do it. Nobody can do that. We have to do it ourselves. These three you always remember. Number one is the physical consciousness, a stream of life, that is wakeful consciousness. The dream consciousness, erect a wall of consciousness. I don't know, when the scientists, when they are doing a practice in their laboratory, they erect a wall. This is cancer research center. They are scientists, they know many aspects of the science, but they have a built a wall of consciousness, that here only cancer research will be done. So many other things. So that type of wall building, that is emotional, that is the dream coming true. These research centers, because they have built up the wall of consciousness, we know for certain that then they will get the result. That is vital or emotional or dream consciousness. And the last one is the sleep consciousness. What you can do in the sleep consciousness? Direct an idea so that it shall enter somebody's head in America. That doesn't mean you can enter only those who are in America and you have to send somebody. Clear? So this is what as the Purna Yoga sadhakas. And remember, there are synonyms. Integral Yoga or Purna Yoga are one and the same. Then I can only base myself on what I have experienced myself. This is important. We hear so much, but we have experienced that result. Then only you can say, yes, I am based on it. And Savitri, most extensively in Savitri, all his experiments, all his experiences, has given word by word in Savitri. So, actually Savitri is a laboratory manual, working manual. But why the problem in understanding Savitri is, because of our preconceived notions. That is, when you read a word, you have your own meaning and the other man has got own meaning. And then they start discussing. This is meaning this. Don't worry about those things. You just read it. Just read it. Select your own passage. Read it. Slowly you will get 49 levels of consciousness, very, very concrete. You will know this is the first level, this is the second level, this is the third level. And we as human beings are now on the 24th stage of consciousness. And some people have gone to the 27th level of consciousness. That is where the 27 stars indicate in the astrology. And after that, the 22 levels, Sri Aurobindo has concretely built it with this aspect. His philosophical works and letters are full of them if one can read behind the printed word. When you read Sri Aurobindo's any word, anywhere, you don't see the printed word, but you read behind the printed word. Mystical experience is abstract only if one knows about it from hearsay. You call it abstract only when you say, when somebody has experienced this, you have not experienced it, then only it is abstract. If one knows about it as a direct experience, and all mystics agree about this, it is more concrete than the rock one stumbles on. See the example. In Telugu, sometimes I feel that this rock one stumbles on, Rai. Rai means stone. And Rai also means to write. So probably that word, it is more concrete than the rock one stumbles on. Humans, illiterate, literate, or highly learned. Now, let us be very honest and see if he is talking about us. Humans, illiterate, literate, or highly learned, talk about so much that surpasses them. That prattles, and it does not even know what it is saying. He is talking about a parrot. Let us be very honest. Let us not be, feel bad. How many times what we are talking about? Is it our own experience or are we prattling? That's all. Don't worry, you can prattle, and if you want to give a lecture, you give a lecture and you fight. I don't mind. I am not saying a physical fight, but a verbal fight. I am not asking you to stop, but you know inside, this part I have not experienced. This honesty is required for all integral yogis. Whenever you are talking about something, is it your direct experience? Or is it what you have heard about, hearsay? What you have heard about? You can talk anything what is there in that movie, that is just this is that. But when you are aware that this is not my experience, that is enough. You are a yogi, Purna yogi. Be honest about it. That's why all life is yoga. Whatever you are talking about, whatever you are doing about. And then, many people, when we talk like this, we feel somewhat, then what am I to do? I have nothing to do. Then Sri Aurobindo replies, the soul in man is greater than his fate. Even if you are fatalistic, you think this is my fate, don't worry, your soul is inside you, which is greater than your fate. And now, this part is again and again, you think and make it a part of your background thinking. Whatever you are doing, this feeling must be there. Earth is the symbol or condensation of our universe. Even in many Puranas, etc., I have never come across this. Even though, whenever there is a problem, the earth goes to the Vishnupada and prays in the form of a cow. The concrete examples, the cow. Earth is equal to cow. It is a concrete example. But what Mother and Sri Aurobindo has given to us is this concept. Earth is the symbol or condensation of our universe. Our universe evolves in and through the earth. Our universe evolves. You have got the depth of that word? Just as our ego, our jivatma, is evolving in our human body, the universe is evolving in planet Earth. The sweeping statement. What happens on earth has its repercussions in all whirling, flaming and radiating, or the dark, condensed and spun out matter of the universe. You see, the words he has used, the whirling. There are so many nebulae of different types. Flaming, all the suns, the stars are flaming. and radiating, and they are radiating their own vibrations. Or maybe there are some galaxies in which there are dark matter, solid matter like us, or the dark condensed and spun out matter of our universe. This is, you get it etched into your brain. What happens on earth has its repercussions everywhere in the universe. It is here that the involution of law matter, which is soul matter, has taken place. This we will read in the final chapters of Life Divine. You understand law matter and soul matter. By its presence, the evolution has commenced. By its presence, the evolution cannot rest before it has reached its stage. So whatever is happening on the planet Earth, it is not just happening. If some attack is there in the Bombay, terrorist attack, and if you think it is just being Bombay, you have not understood Sri Aurobindo's integral yoga. It is not Bombay that is being affected. It is the whole universe. Are we aware of it? Can you appreciate what it means? That is where the integral sadhana is required. That is the level of consciousness which we have to grow. And he assures us, just to repeat that, the last line, the evolution cannot take rest before it has reached it. It goes on, you can't stop it. The only thing is, you are part in it. Either you can stop it or allow it. Then, up. Is the psychic being located in the heart? Now in meditation, while we do here, you remember this one. The psychic being, what Sri Aurobindo used to call as Chaitanya Purusha, and what the theosophists call as the ego, which takes birth continuously, which takes rebirth, is not these three bodies, but the soul, the psychic being. Is the psychic being located in the heart? The mother was asked by a little girl, where does it exist in our body? The psychic body, the jivatma, the presence to which you have to surrender. You have to surrender to that presence. And you remember, when you say that you have surrendered and your life does not become dynamic, the surrender has not happened. You are trying it. I heard a story that one rishi has the parasmani. You know parasmani? A parasmani is a gem. If you touch iron with it, the iron becomes gold. He has it. And he has kept it in an iron safe. Many people used to come and see it. He used to say it is in the iron safe, showing it. And they take two steps and he said, no, you don't deserve, come back. So few years it happened like that. Then one day, a very senior officer, again trying for the 1000th time to see the parasmani in the iron safe, came with his son also, who was 10 years old. The same answer, it is in the iron safe, go and see it. He said, what is the use? So many times I am going and you say, come back, you don't deserve it. But the 10-year-old child said, it can't be there. And now everyone was very angry, talking to a rishi like that. He said, he deserves it, go and see. But before you want to go there, you please tell these so many gigantic officers and spiritualists, why you knew that I am telling something wrong? He said, if it is an iron safe, and if the Parsivedi is there, the Parasmani, then what would have happened? The iron safe must have become gold. It has not become gold. No, it is there, you go and see. He opens, he finds the jewel is there, but it is covered. It is in the heart, the jewel is in our heart. If you open and touch it, it changes you into a gold. But what is happening? The covers of our vital being, the covers of our mental thinking, the covers of our physical plane matter is covering it. And until you can remove these covers, it is there always. It is destined to evolve. You are destined to grow. But still you have to remove yourself these obstructions. That is what she is telling. And she answered, not in the physical heart. The physical heart? Not in the heart muscle. It is in the fourth dimension. And dimensions is another way of calling consciousness. The physical consciousness, the vital consciousness, the mental consciousness, and then the psychic consciousness, the fourth consciousness. See, in the same place, in the same heart, it is there. Adyatishtadvachangalam, that is what the Upanishad says. It is in the heart, somewhere. Sri Ramana Maharshi very clearly tells exactly where it is located. Because when you know exactly where it is located, it becomes easier. That is where we have to read all the yogic literature. Is the psychic being located in the heart? The mother was asked by a little girl, and she answered, not in the physical heart, not in the heart muscle. It is in a fourth dimension, an internal dimension. But it is somewhere there about, somewhere behind the solar plexus, that is where one finds it more easily. The psychic being is in a fourth dimension outside our physical being. And the moment you reach it, you will get the 12 pearl crown. You know the story of the 12 pearl crown of mother? Her guru, he was a negative force, Theon or someone, I don't remember the exact name, Theon. His wife was a more occultist than the husband. And when the young Mira, mother, went there, she saw the 12 pearls rotating around her head. She said, there you are, that is your real being. And you remember, you are also having the 12 pearl crown, the 12 rashis. You are a horoscope. Do you think your horoscope is in that page which you give to the astrologer? Of course it is the table of that, but actually where it is? It is there. There you will find the psychic being at the solar plexus. Now what you have to do when you sit in the meditation, and I always advise you make it here. Because at your home, okay, it is very peaceful and everything, but these powerful vibrations will not be there. And don't say, I don't have time, I am so busy. It's only what I have, that's why I have read, that should be your only aim. All your work, your offices and all the secondary. But I am not saying you don't do that. And don't do your offices. I have also worked. I retired as a biochemistry professor. And while I was working, and I was doing all these things. So when you sit there in your own position, you just feel your heart. You understood what I am telling? Are you sure you understood? I said you feel your heart. You should feel it throbbing. You should feel your heart beating. And when you start hearing the beating, if you can shift your consciousness not to the heart but the beating, you enter the fourth dimension. It is a trick. To explain it, we need so many words, but to do it is very, very simple. Do that every day. For 10 minutes is more than enough. Don't do more than that. Because if you are doing more than that, you are wasting your time. And also his energy. But of course you can't waste his energy, but it goes wherever it wants. Only 10 minutes. All of you, those who are interested, because I am also starting a newsletter, because I am very much worried how things are happening in the world. And I don't want to start a religion, you must have already understood it. But what Sri Aurobindo has done, we should do it. We should do it every day. And if you can go to engineering college 65 kilometers away from your home every day and comes back, I know so many people. Don't you know such people who have joined the engineering college about 65 kilometers away? Every day they... And you can't come to this place for this high purpose. It is a challenge I am giving to you. Meditation. And if possible, all of you at the same time. Because the group meditation is always best. And Mother and Sri Aurobindo confirm it. Now today you will see the slides where he asks for the group. the two-in-one, the chapter 10 in Beyond Yoga, the two-in-one are mother and Sri Aurobindo, two avatars. Two avatars for the one consciousness. In a new act of drama of the world, the united two began a greater age, Savitri. Now you understand the depth of those words? In a new act of drama of the world, first time this has been done, you never try to find out any precedents for this type of activities. No precedents are there. In a new act of drama of the world, the united two began a greater age. Then she is the golden bridge, the wonderful fire, the luminous heart of the unknown is she. Got the point? Heart. This is the heart, your heart, which is the golden bridge, the wonderful fire. The luminous heart of the unknown is she, a power of silence in the depths of God. Many times we don't know the real power of silence, but many times we use it. When some small children, you go on talking and talking and telling, don't do this, don't do that, they won't hear. Then when you say, if you don't hear, I will stop talking. Immediately they hear. Have you ever observed this? The power of silence. A power of silence in the depths of God. What I am talking about, are you able to understand? I am talking about the heart in the meditation. I am talking about this, how you have to meditate. And how you have to meditate, Savitri has given. His practical experience. First of all, you must remember it is a golden bridge for you, for these three bodies and to the psychic body. It is the golden bridge. What is the golden bridge? Your heart. And it is a wonderful fire. You remember, when you feel it, you will understand what real fire is. Till now, we don't know what the fire we are utilizing in the yajñas. But we are using this wonderful fire in yajñas. That is where the Indian rituals are very, very useful if you understand the integral yoga. The ritual is not so important. But if you understand this wonderful fire, the golden bridge to the luminous heart of the unknown. We don't know how the psychic being is, it is unknown. But we know it is because of that we are all the three bodies. A power of silence in the depths of God. Therefore, when you are meditating this, which mantra you have to chant? Which shloka you have to chant? Don't chant anything, be silent. That is important. Be silent. She is the force, the invisible world. The world she gives, the heart gives. Don't say, this is the word you please tell me. She will tell you what is your correct word. From your heart it comes. And somehow, when I study these books and the students are reading it, they mug it up. What do they say? They are by halting it. Unknowingly, they are using the correct word. The knowledge is becoming their words. By halt means that. Am I able to understand my feeling? When you read something and you have by halted it, what does it mean? Those words have become your word. That is why you say you have by-hearted it. A power of silence in the depths of God, she is the force, the inevitable word. This is very important, that even though you are not hearing it, the word is still coming. Until the word comes, you are alive. When the word stops from the psychic being, we are dead. That is the real death. Got the point? So the word is always coming. And now, the Indian yogis have got a small technique. You say, feel your breath. Because breathing is the only psychic process that is happening in the body. You know what is psychic being? Psychic being is the jivatma because of which we born, we die. We born and die. But the moment you are born, the breathing starts. And when does the breathing stop? When you die. Saha yajna praja sushtva puro vacha prajapati. This is the yajna which we are doing since birth. Saha yajna praja sushtva, the prajas, the people, are created with yajna, saha yajna. And this yajna, if you know, I'm talking about this wonderful fire. If you know this yajna, eshavo svishta kamadhuk, all your desires, you can just milk it. Any desire. That's the danger why you are not allowed to know it. Because you don't know what to desire. That is the big problem. Because once my Guruji used to say a story. One man was going on the road. He was very tired in old days. It was very hot and he went under a shade of the tree. Unknowingly, because it was a kalparuksha. And when he went under the tree, he was feeling very thirsty. He said, if I can get cool water. It came. And then he felt hungry also. It came. And the first thing which we do after eating is sleeping. So he said, if I get a good bed and this and that. It was there immediately, the kalparuksha. Then he thought, is it a devil? It may eat me. What happened? So, many people want kalparuksha, but this danger is there. At any moment when you think something which is not what you want, but you think, it also happens. So in one way we are safe that we don't know the power of breathing. And the power of breathing is that with which Sri Aurobindo started his program. You know about his past learning when he was in the Baroda as the principal, not principal, he was working in the king. He met Lele and he told him that breathing is the source. And within 3 days he stopped breathing, stopped thinking. And in that passive level of consciousness, which for many yogis is much coveted, that passive state where the mind does not exist, no thoughts exist, that was done much, much earlier. That pranayama is what you have to practice when you meditate. Don't practice pranayama. You don't practice anything. Let the silence, let the invisible world tell you what to do. That is the surrender, complete surrender. You don't decide with this mind what I am supposed to do in the meditation. Got the point? Don't decide what you are going to do when you are sitting in meditation. Let the inevitable heart, let the golden bridge, the wonderful fire, they will tell you the world. And she is the force, the inevitable world, the magnet, or our difficult ascent, the sun from which we kindle all our suns. The light that leans from the unrealized vast, the joy that beckons from the impossible, the might of all that never yet to come down. Once seen, his heart acknowledged, only here. So just before sitting for meditation, you just again show the whole thing. Before you enter, don't start repeating it while sitting in meditation. You are supposed to be blank completely and try to hear the word. You are just closing your eyes and you are concentrated in the heart. The breath is going on, but don't be aware of it. Am I clear in what I am trying to convey to you? It's not difficult. The process is simple, but the problem is with the words. So you sit there. Because, you know, his ashes are also there, vibhuti is also there. That's very, very important for us. You sit there, and before you enter, either on the staircase, or better, you form a group in the downstairs, and read it 2 or 3 times. She is the golden bridge. What is the she? The heart. She is the golden bridge, the wonderful fire. The luminous heart of the moon is she, a power of silence in the depths of God. She is the force, the invisible world, the magnet or our difficult ascent. Magnet, it attracts us. And difficulty is your ascent. You understand the names and the words he has used are very, very experimental words, experienceable words. It is the magnet. But you have to ascend. Do you find the problem you have there? You are sitting, you are meditating. It is the luminous bridge, the wonderful fire. And now that is the magnet, it pulls you. But even when it is pulling, you have to ascend. You remember that. That is why Sri Aurobindo always used to say it is dynamic. Dynamic. You have to ascend even though it is pulling you. And telling it is very difficult. For example, when I was learning swimming in Benares, I was about 8 years old or so. So I had a rubber tire around me and I was doing. My grandfather was there teaching me how to swim. Then I remember that middle-aged Bengali man. He said, I will teach him. My grandfather said, okay. I am telling about the magnet and difficult ascent. You try to understand the story in this aspect. And not a story, it is my experience. Around 8 years old. So that Bengali middle-aged man said, you just put my hand on my shoulder and he was swimming. You just keep, be with me, you don't need a tire. Okay, he took me to the middle of the Ganges. He removed his. And now I shouted. I still remember the agony of my shout, the fear in my shout. For a few minutes he was with me and then said, why you are shouting, you are swimming? Got the point, the magnet? The ascent. Got it, all of you? That's the experience you will get it. And you will learn swimming. You will hear the word. As simple as that it may happen now itself, because Sri Aurobindo has promised it. You have just to surrender, that's all. You say I surrender and still you say I don't surrender this. So one of my stories, my Guruji used to say that one man gave a dakshina of a cow, dana of a cow, somebody. And then at 4 a.m. he went and said, did you give it food? Then at 6 a.m. he went, did you milk it? And then at 8 a.m. he went back and said, did you take it out? It should to take everywhere. You have given it to me, and every time you are coming and say, and what dana is this? That mistake we do when we surrender it. We don't surrender completely. But at least those 10 minutes, surrender completely. That is enough. Don't worry about what you do outside. The moment you are doing it, if you surrender completely, that is enough. The shock is there, and once you get the shock, you are gone. She is the golden bridge, the wonderful fire, the luminous heart of the moon is she, a power of silence in the depths of God. She is the force, the invitable world. The magnet, or our difficult ascent, it may be both. Either it may pull you, or you will try to go up. The sun from which we kindle all our suns. Do you understand? All these 27 stars, the galactical stars, the nebulae, the Milky Way, all there you have a number of stars. But that star are kindled because of the star in you. This heart is the source of all suns. And he is not saying something to inspire you and something what we call a hyperbole or something, I don't know the exact word. But it is not a hyperbole. Probably he couldn't explain more than that. It is something much greater. The sun from which we kindle all our suns, the light that leans from the unrealized vast, the joy that beckons from the impossible, the might of all that never yet came down, that might in our heart, it has never come down. We were born because of it. We waste it all our life. And when it is, when it can't give you any more, we die. Once seen, his heart. His heart means your heart. His heart here is of course Sri Aurobindo, but the same thing will happen to you also. Once seen his heart, acknowledge only her. And now that I thought I have told so much, I give a break because it is 7. At 7:10 we meet again. Okay? Jai Gurudev.